Look at photographs of classrooms from your grandparents' time, and the setting looks very similar to today. The clothing and hair are different, sure, but the basic idea is still pretty much intact. Lines of children in neat rows facing the teacher learning all at once. Or at least hearing all at once. The learning part differs from child to child, which is why a lot of teachers and administrators talk about personalized learning. It is an approach favored by many educators, some of whom will gather next week in Ashland for a conference on how to teach kids in the future. Our first guest is from the nonprofit Knowledge Works, which will be part of the chats on seamless and future-ready education, October 22nd and 23rd in Ashland. Virgil Hammonds is the chief learning officer at Knowledge Works. Thanks for joining us on The Exchange today.
Good morning, Jeff. Great to be with you.
Tell us a bit about Knowledge Works and its history, if you would.
Certainly. Well, Knowledge Works is a nonprofit organization out of Cincinnati, Ohio, serving communities and states across the country. And for the last 20 years, we've been partnering with schools, communities, and states to help create and identify what the future of learning could look like. And much like the conversation we're going to have here at Southern Oregon University here next week.
So school districts hire you then, and then to do what?
Well, we essentially talk about what aspirations the community has for its future, for its citizenry, and specifically its children. And in consideration of those aspirations and the changing society, we start to think about what are those implications and how might we consider those implications as we teach, learn, and serve and provide opportunities for our children.
So it goes beyond just education, you're saying. So you come in and say, okay, what do you want to do in this community? What do you want to be? I mean, to the whole community, it sounds like.
Correct. What do we value? What makes us special? And how do we recognize that and provide opportunities for our children to understand understand those qualities throughout our community? And also, it's an opportunity to identify how we as a community can rally to support and provide opportunities, not for some kids, but for all of our children.
I'm sure there's some core principles you bring to all the places you go to, but how much tweaking can you do? How much variability over those core principles is there from community to community?
Well, the great question, Jeff. I think the best part of the communities and states we serve is that they each have such unique qualities. But what we have found in our research in terms of personalized learning is that there are specific conditions that need to exist for personalization for every child to occur. And the question that comes up in these conversations and these dialogues and these design times is, how might these conditions come to life in our community? What currently exists amongst these conditions within our community? How might we amplify those, or how might we address opportunities for improvement as well within our community?
So
and how do we collectively do that?
Mm-hmm. And when you talk about then conditions for personalization, let's go there now. I'll ask about some of the tenets of personalized learning in just a minute, but what kinds of conditions have to be present for you to be able to install a personalized learning program?
Sure. So none of these conditions really will seem completely out there. The question that we ask is, how do these conditions come into existence together and in alignment around the core mission that the community creates and designs and identifies? And things such as curriculum, instruction, our assessment processes, what do we believe about what those should look like? And then how do those exist for our kids, for our learners? What does that mean? Do those opportunities exist in our schools? Perhaps those are opportunities for kids to apply learning outside of their schools in context throughout our community. Those are the conversations and conditions that we speak of.
Virgil Hammonds is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's the chief learning officer at the nonprofit Knowledge Works based in Cincinnati, coming to Southern Oregon for a conference next week called Seamless and Future Ready Education at Southern Oregon University, one of several people involved with that. You can join the conversation on the Exchange as we get further into educational theory and practice. 800-838-3760 is our phone number. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. I'm intrigued by the mention of the Knowledge Works website of encouraging students to take ownership of their learning. I imagine that might be a concept a little tough for a kindergartner. Is there an optimum age at which to introduce that concept, Virgil?
Great question, Jeff. And you know what? Actually, it thrives in the primary grades. So when we talk about personalization, what we mean by that is we want kids to have some agency over how they're going to demonstrate their learning. And that starts at the youngest of ages. So a big part of inspiring that agency, that voice in our kids, including our youngest learners, is actually giving them an opportunity to help design what learning could look like in their classrooms. So things from as simple for a kindergarten classroom, how are we going to read with one another? How are we going to do recess together? What does an effective lineup look like after recess? Anything that will help inspire greater levels of voice and choice for our kids, we try to integrate that in all facets of a highly personalized learning sphere.
At the risk of sounding like a dinosaur, when you were talking about ways in which kids in the primary grades can demonstrate what they've learned, I was thinking of show and tell. I mean, but that really is part of it, isn't it? Where you get to show somebody, this is what I learned about this.
Right. This is how I'm making meaning of this content, of this literacy. And show and tell certainly is a big part of that. Same thing for as kids advance through the grades, those opportunities for them to demonstrate how they are making meaning of their learning becomes much more robust, rigorous, and driven by their interests and their desires.
So let's talk about some of the key tenets then of personalized learning. It seems to be the keystone of what you do at KnowledgeWorks. You know, just in case somebody thinks this means a kid off in a corner with a computer, it is not that, or not that alone anyway, right?
Absolutely not, Jeff. Certainly technology is a resource that we need to leverage and utilize, but we firmly believe the single most important factor in student learning is the teacher. And we also recognize that teachers are wearing myriad hats now more than ever in a number of ways. So our goal in partnership, similar to the conversations and designs that are occurring next week at SOU, is how do we as partners within a community help our teachers, our hero teachers, meet those needs in serving each of our kids and their unique interests and their goals.
It is one of the things to do here to get personalized learning off the ground. It seems like you might need more people to be able to do this than just a teacher and an aide in a classroom.
Well, I think that it certainly inspires the opportunity for us as community members to think about what our role could be. So if a child is demonstrating learning in ways that are meaningful to each one of them, as a teacher, we need to think about who are those resources? Who are those folks that can provide those opportunities in addition to those that I am able to provide? But if I have partners in the community that can help my learners accomplish their goals, apply their learning in new, unique, and meaningful ways that I could not have thought of as an educator, how valuable would that be? And how great would it be for our community to understand how their kids are actually pursuing their goals in partnership with the community.
How early in life do kids come up with a list of goals, or at least the ones that they could recite back to somebody?
Well, I think a big part of a highly personalized environment is helping kids to understand what drives them, what motivates them. And as the adults who serve them, it's our opportunity to better understand that as well. How do we leverage those interests, those motivations, those things that inspire them to go deeper? How do we seek ways to help them apply our content, our standards, what we're being held accountable to, things that are highly motivating to our kids? And that's entirely and to be able to do that, though, we have to inspire that in our kids. So it's not solely on our heroic teachers to do that, but we have to create the conditions for our kids to advocate, to demonstrate, to amplify, to articulate what their goals are, what are their motivators, what are their drivers, and it starts in at the youngest levels.
Virgil Hammons is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the Chief Learning Officer of the Cincinnati-based nonprofit KnowledgeWorks, coming to Southern Oregon University next week for a set of conferences on October 22nd and 23rd called Seamless and Future Ready Education. Personalized education is one of the cornerstones of what goes on at KnowledgeWorks. You can join the conversation here on the Exchange. By phone, it's 800-838-3760 or send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. So just in practice then, what does the school day look like in a classroom that has personalized learning as part of the system? I mean, how different from what might go on in that classroom previously?
Great question, Jeff. And, you know, I wish I could say it looked the same in every school and community that we've served and supported. But really, personalization comes to life in new and unique ways. So as you're walking through a school that has made this commitment, you might still see those rows you described. You certainly will see desks, but you might see them positioned in unique ways. You might see kids who are in a design challenge, applying their English and math and science and social studies standards in not just in a singular way, but in clusters. They're starting to do that through a challenge that allows them to implement all of those standards in this one challenge, as opposed to taking an end of the chapter test or simply writing a paragraph response. So it can exist in a number of ways. You might actually see kids also applying their learning in the community, where they are now demonstrating what they have learned, demonstrating their mastery in the school garden, at the mayor's office, in a doctor's office, or while on vacation with their family. It could exist in any number of ways. It's really about how is a community going to allow learning to thrive, not just in our schools, but throughout our community.
But then how much wiggle room do you have from community to community at a time when we seem to favor having standardized tests that do measure the proficiency of the students on a fairly regular basis?
Great question, Jeff. And for us, what we have found is having personalized learning environments is phenomenal. But one key piece of that creation is also the identification of masteries and competencies. So what are we holding ourselves and our kids accountable to? We certainly should ensure that and guarantee that kids are leading with a specific set of skills, knowledge, and disposition that are going to prepare them for the steps after our K-12 experience. And so we have to be really clear about what those are. And those have to serve in alignment with what our state expectations are also for learning. So one key aspect of personalization is also the identification of those competencies.
So we have a question here from one of our listeners who dropped it off. Wanted to know if personalized learning is the same as proficiency-based learning, and if not, what are the differences?
Yeah, great question. So yes, oftentimes they're synonymous. But just to be clear, it's possible to do personalization without the proficiencies or without the competencies. And it's possible to do competency or proficiency-based learning without being highly personalized. We believe doing both together, identifying those proficiencies and allowing kids to personalize or make meaning of those proficiencies in new and unique ways, are critical to amplifying that voice and that agency in our kids to help them become better leaders, better parents, better citizens.
The way you were describing the assessment process, not the standardized test part of it, but where you might, instead of having a chapter end test, demonstrate proficiency in another way, it seems like it requires a bit more of teachers, even that they have to listen a bit more to what the student is able to communicate back to them verbally, visually, ways other than just by marks on a piece of paper.
Well, it's interesting how it all comes together, Jeff. You know, when a learning community is able to identify those core competencies, we're holding all kids and ourselves accountable to learning. And we are, instead of holding those back, we're exceptionally transparent in those competencies. So kids also understand, our learners understand what expectations for learning they are being held to. The kids, it's amazing to see how kids start to advocate and advocate for their demonstration of learning of that competency or of that proficiency. So in addition to our teachers exploring ways to personalize, kids are also doing that as well. So now they become partners in learning instead of passengers in learning.
Partners with the teacher, you mean?
Yes, and potentially our community.
And I would assume with each other. I mean, so does personalized learning, despite the name personalized learning, have room for many different configurations of group sizes so that students can figure out how to problem solve together?
Yes, you nailed it. So learning has always been personal, but it's also been communal, right? So how do we do this together? And in doing learning in collaborative ways, it also creates new and unique dispositions that perhaps our kids might not have had the opportunity to hone and develop in their learning process. So yes, absolutely, Jeff. It's absolutely collaboration, partnership is a key aspect of personalization.
So I mean, is there a recommended mix that Knowledge Works provides to any school thinking about doing this, about the amount of time spent in large groups versus smaller groups?
No, I think it's really dependent on the makeup of the learners in front of you. So what are their needs? What are their aspirations? What do they need currently? What is the background knowledge that they're coming into our classroom or into our community with? How do we honor and acknowledge that and build from there? So it's really about how are we addressing the needs of the kiddos in front of us? And also, how do we help them to do that with one another and for one another?
Education is the topic here on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about personalized learning and some other features that are provided by the Cincinnati-based nonprofit Knowledge Works, which will send some people to a seamless and future-ready education conference next week at Southern Oregon University. Virgil Hammonds is the Chief Learning Officer at Knowledge Works, and you are welcome to join the conversation in the few minutes we have left here. 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Virgil, how different are the learning styles of kids coming into school today versus, say, 10 years ago? I mean, we're talking about kindergartners now, and I would think this would run up until probably the high primary grades have never known a time when people did not have smartphones in front of them constantly.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, it's a different world than the school experience that, or the world that you and I have experienced in our youth. It's absolutely the truth. My own two kids, I mean, the idea of not having a tablet or a device that provides you access to the world immediately, via your fingertips or your own voice, that's just the world that they understand. So this does require us to think differently about how we serve and support our kids and how we empower them to be the drivers of their own learning.
Now, I've noticed that some districts that have adopted the personalized learning model have included a component called integrated digital content. I'm not sure if that's constantly a part of personalized learning, but if you're familiar with it, what does that mean?
So I think the big piece here is when you've made that commitment and you're crystal clear about why you're making this commitment to personalization, you start to ask yourself some questions about what are those resources that'll help our kids to make meaning of what we are teaching and how they are learning it. And so the digital content, those resources that are available to our kids certainly can come via technology and various portals. And so that is very common in all of our schools, whether there's a commitment to personalization, proficiency, or competency. That is our world today. The question is, how do we leverage and utilize those resources, or how do we empower our kids to utilize those resources to go deeper and to think more critically and to apply what they have learned in ways that are motivating to each one of them?
I noticed there are some people who get concerned this means more screen time for the kids. Does it mean that?
I think that is a constant balance, much like in our own homes, right? What is enough for our children? But what we firmly believe at Knowledge Works is that the technology is not the driver. Learning is. And how do we access and provide those opportunities to learn is the question. And how do we balance the resources we're using to drive that learning?
That's
what we do at home.
As districts adopt personalized learning, are they including things like vocational training in here? I mean, part of the focus, obviously, is to get kids ready for jobs that will exist in the future, don't necessarily exist now. And I just wonder how much that gets touched upon and how much variation there'll be from district to district in the approach.
Yeah, great question, Jeff. And I'd say we have a lot to learn from our partners in vocational schools. You know, many of our school systems now, our kids and our professions are credential driven, and our vocational programs rely on those credentials. So those are their competencies. Those are their proficiencies. Now, how do we help? The best part that our vocational programs do is help our kids to see how what they are learning is leading to something greater and bigger, an opportunity, and also a way of how to create that credential or get to that credential is unique within each of those programs. And that's the beauty of vocational programs. They are personalized now while also leading to that competency or that credential.
So when you talk about students thinking about something greater and bigger, does that mean it's not enough for to be able to say to a student, you want to be smart, you want to have a lot of information in your head, you'll be ready for the future that way?
Well, it comes through that process. When we empower our kids to utilize their voice, to advocate on behalf of themselves and for others, and do so while making meaning of their standards and those competencies, that knowledge builds and the kids start to recognize it in themselves, because they're actually applying their learning in deeper ways because they're applying the learning in ways that, are inspiring to them. And so it naturally happens.
Virgil, do you have a story of a student demonstrating proficiency that made you go, yeah, this worked?
Sure, there are countless stories, absolutely. But there's, you know, I'll know when, I'll share a couple stories. And one is that I use in the community I served as a superintendent here in Maine, where I currently am. I knew we had made it as a community when my son had ventured out the door in the middle of a winter storm to go see the garbage man. And as I walked up and ran up to my son, who was two at the time, the garbage man was helping my son say the word hydraulics. And as my son repeated the word rawlics back to him, the garbage man said, yes, absolutely. Can you push the button? And my son compacted the trash. The garbage man handed me a pamphlet and said, the school system asked us to identify how their competencies live in our sanitation world. So here's a demonstration of that. Go on the website and it connects to the school. He didn't know that I was the school superintendent, but here was a partner in learning that came, engaged my two-year-old son for 30 seconds. And from now as a seven-year-old, he can identify hydraulic systems in all facets of our community, in all types of environments. And it just comes to life in new and unique and meaningful ways, all because that that sanitation worker took 30 seconds out of his life to show how what my son may be learning
That's a great
is applicable
story.
To his world.
Virgil Hamm is Chief Learning Officer at KnowledgeWorks. Thank you so much.